Good morning. Welcome to this early morning sunrise service. We're not going to count yawns or stretches this morning. I know there will be many, and for some of you, this is maybe late for you. Others, this is pretty early, certainly early on a Sunday morning. But let me welcome you to IBC Sunrise Service here this morning. Glad to have you out. We may have a few more that come on in here in just a little bit. A cool, crisp spring morning here on Sunday, April the 9th. We're glad to have each one of you out this morning. And it won't be a long service, but it'll be, I hope, an encouraging service here to you. And we'll see how our voices are at 6:30 in the morning here. Maybe you cranked them up on your way in driving. Maybe you haven't. But in just a second here, we'll sing a song or two. And Evangelist Shane Kohlmeyer will be handling most of the service. And he'll be the one sharing the challenge here this morning during the sunrise service. So do you have enough strength to stretch without making noises and groans? All right, let's go ahead and have you stand this morning. And we're going to begin in a word of prayer and then stay standing there. You can grab a hymnal. And we're going to have an opening hymn this morning as we begin this morning's sunrise service. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we want to say good morning on this sunrise service this morning, Lord. It's cool, it's crisp. Many were driving in this morning due to distance, and it was still dark. Others, Lord, may have come in just as the sun was rising. And Lord, think back to the Word of God that says, Lord, on that first day of the week, very early in the morning, I believe the book of Mark even says, as the sun was rising, Lord, the women, the ladies, came to that tomb. Lord, sorrowing and crying and weeping and probably discouraged. And Lord, they were wondering how they're going to roll the stone away to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, Lord, as the scripture says, Lord, the stone was already rolled away. The tomb was empty. Lord, and the angel told the ladies that he is risen. He is not here. Lord, we're so thankful that we do not worship a God or a person who has a tomb or has a shrine or has a monument that we go to, Lord, and inside is dead bones, dust. Lord, we're thankful that we serve a risen Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you are alive forevermore. We know, Lord, that you're coming back at any moment. We're so grateful, Lord, we need not fear death. Lord, thank you for each one that's gathered here this morning, whether in person or perhaps at home, Lord, watching with a coffee in hand, eating some breakfast, maybe waking up. Lord, I pray that this morning our hearts will be warmed as we think back, Lord, some 2,000 years ago, early on that Sunday morning, at almost maybe the same time or earlier, Lord, as Lord, word was now getting out that the tomb was empty, that the Lord Jesus Christ was risen just as he said. Father, I pray we'd sing this morning with joy in our hearts. I pray, Lord, our hearts and minds would be on the Lord Jesus Christ and your soon return. And Lord, I pray today we'd have an opportunity perhaps even to share the good news that you are alive with someone that has never heard. We love you and we thank you, Lord. We ask your blessing on this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay standing as Brother Shane comes.
Grab that hymnal.
All right, let's take our hymn book and turn to 269 as we begin In the Garden. 269.
Singing.
us to do while we're standing, we'll have to grab our Bibles and like to do something a little different. I think we may have done this in the past once or twice, do a responsive reading. And so if you need it from the Pew Bible, it's going to be on page 1481, but Luke chapter 24, and I'll read one verse, and then the congregation reads verse number 2. I read verse number 3, so I'm reading all the odd verses. You're reading all the even verses up to verse number 12. All right, a nice little blessing, help get us alert. And so I'll start beginning in verse number 1. We're reading Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. I'll read beginning verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus.
And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments.
And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again."
And they remembered his words.
And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not.
And then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass.
All right, thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for participating and reading the Word of God. I'm going to take our songbook once again, and just go to the next page over. And I lost my place, so that would be 69, I believe. 260. Oh. 270 it is. 270. Hail the day that sees him rise.
Hail the day that sees him rise. Alleluia, to his throne beyond the skies. Alleluia, Christ the Lamb for sinners came. Alleluia, enters now the highest hand.
wonderful singing. I know it's early in the morning, and we're going to be in the book of Luke. So if you had your Bible there and you had it open and it's still open, you're right in the right place. We're going to be this morning. And let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, today is a day of rejoicing. Lord, a day of remembrance. Remembrance of our Lord Jesus. I took upon him the sin of this world and bore our sin upon his cross. And Lord, he went to the grave, and there 3 days later rose again, as the scriptures had said, and Lord, he liveth forevermore. Oh Lord, we rejoice this day that death is not final. There is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is the resurrection that we will have one day as well, when we see thee once again face to face. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking at the Gospel of Luke, and we see the women who come here to the tomb. And so I entitled this challenge here this morning, Lessons from the Women at the Tomb. And I got 3 points. We see number one, the women's priority. We're going to see number two, also the women's preparations. And we're also going to see the women's privileges. And so we're going to look here first, the women's priority. And so if you will note in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and verse number 1, it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning." That phrase, very early in the morning. In fact, if you were to go to all the Gospels, you will find that in various of the Gospels, the same things sometimes are mentioned, but many times there's different details from each Gospel that are given. And sometimes the same account is not given in all 4 Gospels, but this one in particular is given in all 4 Gospels. And note the various ways it says similar things. John chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark." Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week." And then in Mark chapter 16, verse 2, "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." Boy, there's one detail that is given in all the Gospels, and that's this. The Lord's very clear. He wants us to know it was very early in the morning. Does that bear any significance? Well, I began to think upon this, and I began considering when the day begins for us. And, of course, on our calendar date, our day begins at midnight, does it not? The calendar date will change. Do you know in the Jewish calendar, it is not that way. The Jewish calendar is different. The Jewish day will begin roughly about 6 p.m. or at nightfall or evening. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 23, God gave directions to his people, the Jews, and verse number 30, it says, "And whatsoever soul that it doeth any work the same day, the same soul will I destroy among the people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at even. From even unto even. Ye shall celebrate your Sabbath." So it begins in the evening and it ends the next evening. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 18, instructions regarding the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it says, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even," that's in the evening, "ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 20th day of the month at even." Again, even to even. So we see God's instruction to his people, the Jews, during that time. And many of them also believe this is all derived from the first description of a day given in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 5, where it says, "And God called the day light, called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." So we see evening here being mentioned before the morning brought together to be the first day. This means the women do not come at the start of the day, but halfway through the first day of the week. Consider that. Now we know even in the Jews' time, as recorded in the New Testament, that they observed this concept of two areas of 12-hour periods. 12 hours in the evening, 12 hours of daylight. This is given to us in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 45, where it refers to the Lord Jesus on the cross, there where he bears our sin, and it says it was the sixth hour, even until the ninth hour, it was dark. Now, all historians agree that it is noon till 3 o'clock. And so the measurement of their day, of that hour, being of such nature, of increments of 2 12-hour periods of time. And so the Lord Jesus passes away upon what we might consider, or the Jews would consider rather, Thursday as opposed to Friday as we would recognize it, in the afternoon. And so we see here that when the women do come to the tomb, it is halfway through the first day of the week. Evening begins the new day, just after the work day is finished. The second half of the Jewish day is the beginning of daylight, the start of the working part of the day. Thus, the beginning of a day is the beginning of your strength of the day. The Lord Jesus alludes to this in John chapter 9 and verse 4, where he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Night cometh when no man can work. Here Jesus uses the comparison of men working during the day and not at night in order to relate a spiritual truth. He is declaring the immediate priority of doing the will of God. We can conclude that what is done in the beginning of the day is set as an individual to be a priority for that person. There are many examples in Scripture that even reflect this. Consider and go with me in your mind, if you will. I'll have you go ahead and turn there. Let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Sometimes turning helps keep us alert. Let's go to the Scriptures, and so Genesis chapter number 22. And we'll find a very familiar story here. We know in Genesis that God came to Abraham and promised him to be the father of a great nation. His seed would be great as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea, and in another place it refers to it as the dust of the earth. And so God finally does fulfill that promise, not in Abraham's time, but in God's divine providence and time. He sends Isaac, and Isaac is beloved unto Abraham. And you remember the case, as we look at the beginning of chapter 22, that God comes to Abraham. And verse number 2 of chapter 22, the Bible says, And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, note the next phrase, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now upon this kind of request, something that you do not desire to do, something you perhaps do not fully understand, would something be like this, something you would want to maybe put off for a little bit? Maybe more time to think about it? But what does Abraham do in verse number 3? And Abraham rose up when? Early in the morning. He set the priority to do exactly what God had commanded him to do, though he did not understand it. Abraham was a man of faith that believed what God said he would do, that he does have a plan, though he does not understand it. Oh, and you know what that plan was. As he took his son up there and would have killed his son, he believed, according to the book of Hebrews, that God was going to raise his son up from the dead again. But there God stayed the hand. But what a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was led up Golgotha's hill. There he was crucified, the Son of God. Why? For your sin and my sin. And so we find this example, even of Abraham rising early in the morning. It's not far that we find yet another example of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 28 and verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it." Here, when God speaks and gives direction to Jacob, the first thing he does is to arise early in the morning to commemorate that. We find that Moses, when obeying God's command to confront Pharaoh, and by the way, we know Moses was not excited to go back to Egypt. Remember the burning bush experience? Moses gave lots of excuses, did he not? "I cannot speak. I'll send your brother." "Well, who should I say sent me?" Boy, he just gives excuse after excuse. But when he finally submits to the will of God and God says, "Okay, now the next day you're going to go." What happens in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 20? We find, "And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. And lo, he cometh forth to the water and saying to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me." And so Moses does it. What's the priority? First thing, God wanted him to go do it. We find that Gideon rose up early against the Midianites in Judges 7 and verse 1. We find David rises up early to do what his father commanded him in taking his brothers. Boy, this is interesting. Turn, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel 17. First Samuel 17, beginning in verse 20, note what the scripture says. "And David rose up early in the morning." Boy, a teenager rising up early. "And left the sheep with a keeper and took and went. And Jesse had, as Jesse his father," that's who Jesse is, "commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array against army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And he spake according to the same words, and David heard them." And you know what happens from there. David says, "Is there not a cause?" And David's going to fight Goliath. Now, isn't it interesting that David gets there just in time? Did you read that? He ran to his brethren when he got there. Did you see that? I didn't make it up. He ran. He was on a mission. He got there. He brought the supplies that was needed. He ran to meet his brothers to see how they were doing. That was how Jesse had instructed him. And upon talking with his brethren, what happens? Then he hears Goliath of Gath. Now, I don't know for sure. Maybe Goliath came out every hour on the hour. I don't know. Bible doesn't tell us that. But is it possible that David might have missed hearing Goliath had he not risen up early in the morning? I don't know. You don't know. We can't say for sure. But one thing I do know is that he made it a priority to do what his father had commanded him. And since he made that a priority and he was a disciplined individual, he was there in a timely fashion. And boy, did he just happen to show up at the right time, didn't he? You know that it speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him." And so Jesus was busy ministering, healing, casting out devils. Now, I submit unto you that would be a tiring task to be continuously upon this type of ministry, physically speaking. And what do you do when you had a long day's work? What do you do the next day? Maybe sleep in a little bit? What does our Lord Jesus do in verse number 35? And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And so we find our Lord Jesus makes it a priority in his life as well, rising up early to pray before the Lord. You know, we are also instructed regards to this concept of being early. Psalm chapter 63 and verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Consider, if you will, also Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. This is wisdom personified in speaking. It says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, why do I mention all of these references to early? Well, because the women came early. I want to draw attention to that. The importance is not necessarily about the time of day, I believe, but rather the precedent or priority it demonstrates. The will of God is not just to be done in the morning, is it? It is to be done all day. We should be about the will of God first and quick to begin it. The day is coming when we will be taken by either the undertaker or the uppertaker. Let us set our priority to serve our Lord today. But unfortunately, there's many Christians who had the same concept of serving God like the little boy many, many years ago. Must have been in the early 1900s or so, because the father had given his son 2 dimes and told him, you go to church and 1 dime you put in the offering plate and the other dime you can take and get ice cream on the way home. And so a little boy was skipping the church. He's excited. And as he's going, one of the dimes gets loose from his grip as he's looking at it, and it falls down. And you know what the little boy says? Oops, God, there goes your dime. Now, you can appreciate maybe a little boy and the way he thinks, but unfortunately, in a Christian life, there's a lot of people that set God in a similar priority. Oops, God, I got this going on. And so the Lord no longer becomes a priority in their life. We see the women demonstrated their priority was the Lord Jesus Christ, for they rose up early in the morning and made that their first thing of the day. Not only their priority, but also, note quickly, the woman's preparations. We see in Luke chapter 24 and verse 2. Verse number 1. And they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now we find that these ladies had preparations. They had prepared something. What did they prepare? They prepared spices. What were they going to do with those spices? They were going to minister unto their Lord. They were going to serve their Lord, though they believed him at that current time to still be lifeless in the tomb. Here's some personal application perhaps we can make by way of application. They were prepared to serve their Lord. Do we prepare ourselves to serve our Lord? How can we prepare ourselves to serve our Lord? Well, number one, you can prepare your heart. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 3 says, Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. We find in 2 Chronicles 27 and verse 6, referring to another king, So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Ezra, and Ezra 7 and verse 10 tells us, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. We can prepare ourselves for serving the Lord by preparing our heart for Him, being in His Word, having our conscience clean. We can also be prepared in ministering at church. Listen, if someone is teaching Sunday school, shouldn't they be prepared? Right? If I'm giving a message this morning, shouldn't I be prepared with notes and studying I've already done? Surely. Shouldn't a choir be prepared before they sing? You could ask anybody in a choir, the sound that came out on Good Friday was far different than the sound when we first tried to sing that cantata. Why? Because when we were ready for the cantata, we were prepared. You be prepared for junior church. Be prepared for sound ministry, discipleship, encouraging other believers in the Lord. Do you come with a mind to do so? Are you prepared to do so? Greeting, perhaps at the door, whatever ministry you might do, security, nursery. Many times we go about our work and do not think about being a blessing necessarily to that child or parent. Or whatever ministry you might be in, do you pray? Are you prepared in your heart? Do you deem the ministry that the Lord has here as a priority and that you prepare for it? Are you prepared to be a godly spouse in your home? I remember when I was yet single and I was at Bible college, I would read books on relationships, good Christian books on relationship. Why? Because I didn't know when the Lord was going to bring somebody around. And I figured if I met somebody, I'd just do whatever I was used to being raised. And so I didn't, great parents, so I wasn't a problem. But I figured I wanted a little more objective observance of some things. So I read various books. My wife is thankful that I did. It benefits us in a lot of wonderful ways. I prepared myself. Are you prepared to be a godly parent? Boy, it's fun to watch various friends, and the first child's come along, and boy, they're reading the books. I want to be prepared. After the first one, the books go out the window, right? But you do want to be prepared. Are you prepared to be a godly child? You mean I have to work on that? Yeah, children obey your parents in the Lord for this, right? Yeah, you do have to work on that. You raise up your children, nurture and admonition of the Lord? Yes, you do have to work on that. Are you prepared to fulfill God's calling in your life? Do you know what God's calling for your life is? All you have to do is obey the everyday will of God for your life, and God will reveal His broader plan for your life. Luke 16, verse 10 tells us, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much." Are you prepared, finally, to meet God? Are you born again? Was there a day when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, "I always believed." Listen, that's not biblical. You see, all people are born sinners. Nobody is born from the womb believing God. There must come a point in time where God confronts you with your sin. You realize you're guilty of your sin. And that Jesus came for the very purpose to die for your sin, was buried, and He rose again for your sin. And He offers eternal salvation. And the book of Hebrews makes it a priority. And it says, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. You could be saved today. So we see the women's preparations. I want to see finally, in conclusion, the woman's privileges. What did the women privilege to have and to see? Well, they were the first to see the empty tomb. That's something to brag about, isn't it? They were the first to see the angels of God. But here's the best part. Mary Magdalene was the first to see Jesus face to face. Oh, you know, they were rewarded for having their priorities right. They were rewarded for preparing to serve their Lord. And they received certain privileges that others did not get to have. We live, unfortunately, in a quote-unquote privileged society. They believe they deserve to have what they want without earning or working for it. This is not how God deals with his own children. After you're born again and become one of God's children, those who set God as their priority, make themselves to serve, will be greatly rewarded. And so he promises crowns that one day we shall earn and cast back at his feet once again. And so the question is here this morning, have we set God as our priority? Are we prepared to serve him so that we can reap the benefits and the privileges that he has awaiting for us who love him? Let's bow in prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time this morning. And Lord, we pray that the challenge of rising early in the morning would stick in our minds and in our hearts. Oh Lord, we pray that we would set priorities if we do not have them, if we need to make some changes to them. Lord, perhaps we need to make some changes in regards to our preparation to serving thee. Oh Lord, we pray that you would help along these ways. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now with head bowed and eyes closed, just give a, always like to give an opportunity to someone to respond to the gospel. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Shane, I'm not sure if I die today, go to heaven. I thought I always believed in God, but God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And boy, I understand I'm a sinner and that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, but there was never a day where I called on his name to be saved. And I want to do that this morning. If that's you, just simply raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. I want to call on the name of the Lord to be saved this morning. Anybody like that? You say, Brother Shane, God spoke to me in the area of priorities. God knows your heart. Please remember me in the closing prayer. Anybody like that? Boy, my priority has not been what God wants them to be. I see the discipline of these women. How about the areas of preparation? Pray, say, Lord, Lord knows I have not been preparing myself as I need to prepare. Please remember me in the closing prayer. Anybody like that? Love to pray for you. Heavenly Father, you know the hands and hearts in every situation we all find ourselves in. Help us, Lord, to prioritize thee, for thou art greater than anything in this world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.